I'm going to preach around a little bit from Luke chapter 11, Matthew chapter 2, and the book of Revelation. But Father, as we come to your word, Father, I ask that you would open our hearts this morning, that each and every one of us, Lord, you so love the world. Every single one of us here you love. And that's why you sent Jesus to save us. And Father, you want to speak into the heart of every single one of us here. And Father, I would ask you would open our hearts to hear that you had given us this morning, Holy Spirit, you would give us ears to hear how much you loved us. You would give us eyes to see why you came into the world. That, Father, all the Christmas tinsel and all the baubles would fall to the ground and we would hear from heaven why you sent your Son into the world to die on a cross. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Okay, Matthew chapter 2. I'll read this passion. We had a look at it a little bit earlier with the child's play, but it's the account of the wise men. It's not necessarily three, because it never says there's three. There's a number of them. After Jesus was born in Jerusalem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Israel was with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "Bethlehem in Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' There in Herod, when in secret called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem. I just want to make a few points from this passage that Luke writes and Matthew writes for us. And he tells us that Jesus, "Where is he?" Herod said, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" And Herod asked that question because Herod was a human king who, and like all human kings, received their kingship from men. And they inherited their kingship and they grew into it. When someone died, they inherited. But Herod referred to Jesus as the one who was born king. And that's who Jesus is. Jesus didn't inherit a kingship. Jesus is God's king. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the one who God created all things through when the world was formed. He is the Word becomes flesh. There is no one to compare to him. And he reigns and he rules over the affairs of men. And he always has and he always will. He is God's king. And it says that Herod was troubled by the coming of God's king. And in fact, he desired to destroy God's king. He didn't want to worship God's king. He came and sought God's king, Jesus, to destroy him. Why? Because the coming of God's king and the coming of God's kingdom into the world means that your kingdom has to end. The big ego show has to end, and you need to yield your kingdom to God's kingdom. You need to bow your knee to the King of Kings. And Herod said, "I don't, I won't, I will not. My kingdom, my will and my way is what counts." And everybody who's not converted takes that position. The reason why people don't receive Christ, the very heart of it, is that their kingdom their big show, they want to go, they don't want to yield. They don't want to receive Jesus Christ as the King who reigns over them. That's the heart of it all. But when Jesus comes into the world as King, he comes to reign, and to receive him, we need to yield and to receive him as God's King and let him reign over us, put ourselves under his command, let his word reign over our lives in order to be blessed. But the coming of God's King, I want to speak today, this morning, because I get, sometimes at Christmas, I get greatly grieved by what man makes of Christmas. And I want us to point out the reality of Christmas. And the reality of the coming of God's King is an event surrounded with incredible violence. This Herod, who would not yield to God's King, who would not bow his knee and place his kingdom under God's kingdom, he did something so terrible that we gloss over it when we put up all the tinsel and the baubles. He ordered the destruction and the killing of every child under two. When he couldn't find Jesus, he said, "My kingdom must not end, and I'll kill everything that threatens my kingdom." He even killed his own family, Herod. But he killed every child that was under two in order to kill Jesus. But Jesus' parents had been warned in a dream to flee, and they fled, and Herod was not successful. But he was willing to destroy every male under the two. So the coming of God's King, the coming of Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, into the world is an event which is surrounded with extraordinary violence and pain and blood of the innocents. And it ends with extraordinary violence and pain and blood of the innocent. And the source, what is the source of such violence that came against the birth of God's King, of such pain and such bloodshed? Was there at the beginning, it was there at the end. What is the source of that violence? It is Satan. Because from the very fall of mankind, what we got to do to understand the coming of God's King, Jesus into the world, we've got to understand his mission. When God created man, he created man with dominion. He put him in a garden. They had his kingdom to rule and reign. But at a certain time, Adam and Eve chose not to trust God. Satan came with an apple and he tempted them. And they betrayed God and gave their allegiance to Satan. And we call this the fall of mankind. That man fell out of relationship and favor with God, was disconnected, and God evicted them from the garden. And from that time on, they were under and born in sin, and they were not in the kingdom of God. They were in the kingdom of Satan, in the kingdom of darkness. Every single person that was born after Adam and Eve, that's their position. They were not born into the kingdom of God. They were born into the world, which belongs to Satan, and that's called the kingdom of darkness. Every single person. And the true mission of Jesus, the true mission of Jesus was to come into the world to take you and I back. To take you and I back out of the Satan of kingdom, out of the kingdom of Satan, and into the kingdom of God. That's why Colossians says this, that he has delivered us, every Christian, from the power of darkness and conveyed us, transported us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, and whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's the true mission of Jesus. And if you, let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, Jesus was teaching about his kingdom, and he says this, every kingdom, from verse 17, divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather me scatters. What was Jesus saying when he taught that? He was speaking in defense of his casting out of demons. And people said, you do this by the power of demons. And he says, I can't, because a kingdom divided itself against itself will not stand. And from the passage we learn in verse 7, it says, if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? And then Jesus says, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. He then says, whoever is not with me is against me. What's he saying? He's saying there's only two realities. There is the kingdom of darkness and there is the kingdom of God. And every single person in here is in one of those kingdoms. All of us have a shirt on and it's either black and it's white. And it all depends on whether you've received Jesus and his forgiveness at the cross with your blood or you haven't. It's that simple. There is no medium ground. There's no middle ground. There's two kingdoms, darkness, Satan, and the kingdom of God through Jesus. And he says, Satan's kingdom has a certain power. He says this Satan has the power to bind and to keep people. He has the power to deceive people, and he binds people and he blinds people to their need for salvation. He binds them in addictions. He binds them in things that they think are going to be good for them. And as they go down that path, those things take them captive and they can't get out of those things. He binds people and he blinds people to the way out of the cross. That's what Satan does. That's his strength and that's his power. But the good news is Jesus is speaking this path. In verse 22, he says, but when a stronger than he comes and overcomes him, that at the cross, Jesus Christ disarmed Satan. And at the cross he has come, Jesus Christ is much more powerful than Satan. And he has overcome Satan so that you may be delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God. And that was his whole mission. That is why he came, to set the captives free. And that's why there is so much violence surrounded with his coming and his death. It's a violent story and it's a story of war. That people are bound. This is what you got. People are bound. People are blinded. And God so loved the world that he sent his son for the purpose of this, to set them free. And Satan knew what was coming, so Satan worked through Herod. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went after him in the wilderness and tempted him to take another path other than the cross. And he came at him through Peter. Peter said, get behind me, Satan, when he tried to show him another way other than the cross. And he came through him through Judas. It was war. But Jesus prevailed. He went all the way to the cross and he has overcome Satan so that the people that are captive to Satan today may be plundered, may be brought out of his kingdom and into the kingdom of God. That is why he came. And that is why the coming of Jesus is violence. If you go to Revelation chapter 12. I'll just read. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the death, to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And a child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil. And Satan, who deceives the whole world, He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. The accuser of our brethren who accuse them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. The first six verses there is again, it's the image of Jesus' birth and of Satan waiting through Herod to devour God's king who would rule and reign as he was born. And you see the imagery in the first six verses there. And then the next part of it deals with the victory that came after the cross, the resurrection. It's beautiful imagery. The resurrection and the rapture there, that Christ was caught up. And then I love this book. Then war broke out in heaven, but they did not prevail. And the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, cast out. And he was cast down to the earth. It's like Jesus Christ went to the cross to set the captive free out of the power of sin and Satan. And he overcame him by going to the cross where he died for the sin of the world, where he disarmed Satan, the scripture said, that as he rose, I love this, it's like Jesus entered heaven like a bouncer. And he went in there and he got hold of Satan and he threw him out. He threw him out because he is completely victorious. He has got all authority and he threw every power of darkness out of heaven. But where did he throw him out to? It says he's come to earth. And what you need to know is that Satan has been thrown out of heaven and he's angry because he knows he is defeated. The blood of Christ has defeated him. His time is short and he prowls around like a lion and he's on earth. And it says as Christ rose, and war broke out in heaven. And the Christian life is not a picnic, it's a battle. To do well as a Christian, you have to know that you have entered into a fierce battle because Satan has been cast out, but he's been cast to the earth. He prowls around like a lion, and he knows his future is a pit of sulfur, and he wants to take as many people with him into hell as he can. That's what he's doing. And he's as mad as hell. He's as mad as hell. So Christians need to have a mentality of worship, but also warfare. We come in here to worship him, but we also need to understand the importance of warring. And what does Satan do? Is what it says. He came to the ground, verse 9, he deceives the whole world. What he's doing, he's trying to tell you don't need Christ, you don't need to be forgiven, there's another way to heaven. He's deceiving the whole world at the moment, the good's evil and evil is good. He is deceiving people that you can do good works and on that day of judgment they'll be accepted before you don't need to go through the cross of Christ, that God will accept you, that there's a forgiveness outside the blood of Jesus. That's how he deceives people. And he deceives people. And then the Bible says here that he deceived the whole earth. Then it goes on to say, the second work of Satan, Christ has come for the accuser of our brethren, has accused him before God day and night, but he's been cast down. And see what Satan does, right from, you know, the book of Job. Satan was accusing Job, saying he only serves you because you're good to him. But he accused Job before God. And this is the work of Satan, what he does. Satan accuses God's people. There's a beautiful picture of this in Zechariah chapter 3. I'll just read it. It said, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a bland pluck from the fire? Now, Joshua's clothed with filthy garments was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. That is a beautiful picture, but it's a full picture of how Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He is accuser of the brethren, who accuses you day and night and tries to bring condemnation and shame and guilt on you. But the good news is he has been cast out. And because if you're a Christian, every time Satan accuses you, Jesus says, no, he's covered in my blood. And God says, I will not entertain the accusation. I will not entertain him. He's no longer clothed with filthy rags. If you've trusted in Jesus, your filthy rags have been taken off and you're clothed in a turban and a garment of righteousness. His righteousness. And but the devil wants to accuse you day and night. And this passage speaks about how they overcame him. So this devil who's been cast out but roars around earth, trying to deceive people, trying to bring condemnation on you, trying to accuse you, even though you're guilty and been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. He accuses you. He tries to condemn you. He tries to steal from you. He tries to lie to you. Because he's at war with you. And a Christian needs to understand, not only was the coming of Jesus soaked in violence, and Jesus and Paul both had a war mentality. Paul said, I ran the race, I fought the good fight, I kept the faith. For a Christian, we not only need to understand the coming of Jesus was covered in violence, but we need to have, the Bible says, violent men enter the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is being preached and the violent men press in. We need to have a warfare attitude. And what's the attitude we need? We need to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Christ has won the victory. We are seated in him, but we need to continually appropriate that victory over what the enemy is trying to do. We need to continually enforce the victory that has been won for us to go forward. And you need to say, when the devil tries to condemn you, no, by the blood of Jesus, I've been washed clean. The Bible says that all who call on his name will be saved. The Bible says that if you confess, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I will be saved. When the devil tries to come and attack you and question your salvation, when you declare that, that's the word of your testimony. Your words in the spirit realm become a sword. They become a sword. And you overcome him by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb. When Satan tries to say to you, you know what a lot of people do? Satan tries to come and condemn you and say you're not really saved. You've done that sin that nobody else did. That's one of his favorite tricks. You stepped over that line that nobody else did. It's secret, nobody knows about it, but God knows about it. You're not going to be forgiven. And when Satan comes to try to accuse the brethren, what a lot of people try to do, they try to look into their own life and they look back and they say, but I've done this and I've done that. That's not how you defend him, because your righteousness is filthy rags. You overcome him by the blood. You say, it doesn't matter about my righteousness, it matters about his. He came to live a perfectly righteous life on my behalf, that he shed his blood to wash me of my sin, and I am saved. That's how you overcome the Satan. And by the word of your testimony. And finally, not loving their lives unto death. This is so important for our generation, to have victory over Satan. There's a scripture where someone was trying to bring deliverance in the book of Acts. And these demons jumped out of somebody and beat the people who were trying to do deliverance up. And they said, these demons who beat the attempted deliverers out, said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? You know why he was able to say that? Because Paul had the resemblance of Jesus. And he loved not his own life to the death. And they could see the cross of Jesus in Paul's life. And the cross is where the power is. And it's so important that if we be people who are going to be spiritually victorious today, that we get into the place where we love not our lives to the point of death. You may have to give up a job for Christ in the future. You may have to sacrifice a lot the way the world is changing in future, the way the people are trying to bring stuff into our schools and come against our children. There has to come a time where the church and every Christian is able to stand up and say, this is what the Word of God says, and put it on the line. And even if it costs you, I read today there are some people in Afghanistan, 200 and something Christians are going to be beheaded. I don't know if that's true, but I got an email this morning. But we don't face those kind of life and death pressures in this world. But we need to be people who speak out. Who speak out. When things like abortion and sexual immorality and all the same-sex marriage, God's people need to be able to take a stand and love not our own lives, but be loyal, because there's authority in that. There is authority in that position. So you need to have a battle mentality. We need to understand that the coming of Christ is all about setting captives free. It's all about bringing people out of Satan's power, out of Satan's kingdom. And he's got people blinded and he's got them bound. Everyone who's not a believer, everyone who doesn't believe they need to be forgiven by God and reconciled and understand the work of Christ at the cross, the only reason they don't believe that is because Satan has blinded them. And he's got them bound in destructive habits. He's got them bound in chains of destruction. And Jesus came for one person, one reason. He saw what the Satan was doing in people's lives, and he came to declare war and use all his power to set them free. That's why he came. That's why the coming of Christ is surrounded in such violence, because the kingdom of darkness knew who he was, knew what he was coming to do. But Jesus Christ went through all the way to the cross, because he loves us so much and he desires that we live reconciled to God, and not only reconciled to God, but free. And we need to have that, the same mentality that Jesus had when he stepped into the world. He stepped in to do war against the enemy. And when your children are away from God, you need to be able to war for them. You need to be able to stand there and take the Word of God, declare, hands off my children, Satan. Bible says, me and my household will be saved. The Bible says that the righteous are blameless and their children are blessed. And when you declare that, when you testify that, your word becomes a sword in the spirit realm and your children start to get free. When you have sickness that is ongoing, you've got to say that Jesus Christ, see, you've got to have revelation. How did the Israelites walk through the desert for 40 years in divine health? I tell you how. Before they left Egypt, we all know the blood was put over the doorpost to free them. But the night before, they were told to eat the flesh. By his wounds, we are healed, and by his blood, we are free. We are forgiven. It's all the way through. When Satan says you're going to be sick, say, by his wounds, he took 39 stripes for my healing. As you declare that he is the Lord who healeth thee, the Word of God becomes a weapon in the spirit. Becomes a sword in the spirit. When your marriage is under attack, you know Satan's trying to, he puts a wedge in your marriage, a spiritual wedge. Satan attacks marriages, not individually, attacks marriages. You need to be able to stand there and say, by the Word of God, what God has joined together, no man will separate. And as you declare that in the spirit realm, your word becomes a sword. So the coming of Christ is not about baubles. It's not about tinsel. It's not about even three wise men, because there's probably many more than three. It is about people who are captive, bound and bind, God's desire to free them. Just finish, if we go to Revelation 20. There's a picture here. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I saw from the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven that God had prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
And behold, a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them. He will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat in the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It just finishes to say that Jesus' victory because our blood, his blood, by his blood, our sins have been washed clean. We are able to receive and enter into the new heaven. And the new heaven is so beautiful. I just love this. It's a prepared place. God himself is going to dwell with his people in a real heaven. And in those real heaven, listen, every tear, no tears there. No death, no pain, no crying, no pain, no sickness. Former things have passed away. No doctors, no chemists. It's perfect. Why is it perfect? Because there's no sin there. Everyone's been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And God wants every person in that place. That's why he came. That's why he shed his blood. But there is a sobering end to it as well. Not everybody ends there. It says there's another place, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable. They end up in the lake of fire. They end up in the lake of fire. And we need to be people who are overcomers. It's the overcomers who end up in that beautiful heaven that God has for us. I want to just say as I end today, this Christmas, don't get swept up in all the nonsense, all the gifting, all the materialism, all the commercialism of it. But understand this. Jesus Christ went to war for you. The coming of Jesus is surrounded by violence because the kingdom of Satan is real. The powers of darkness are real. He is still binding and blinding people today. And all of us were born in that place. But the gospel is that God so loved the world that he refused to leave us in that place. And he entered into full warfare and went to war with Satan, who has a kingdom and has a power. But Jesus Christ is more powerful, and he overcame him, and he plundered his kingdom and continues to plunder his kingdom today. He continues to set captives free. He continues to open the eyes of people who suddenly they can see Christ. Suddenly they can see hope. Suddenly they can see heaven. And he continues to break chains off people today. People who are bound in addiction, suddenly when they come to Christ, say, this addiction, this power has dropped off my life. I am free. It is for liberty that Christ came, to set people free. That's the gospel. And he paid for your freedom. He paid for your freedom here with his own life. The darling of heaven lay here and paid for our freedom. He redeemed us. He brought us back from Satan with his own blood. He shed his blood. He went through that awful cross because he loves people who are bound so much. I just feel God wants to speak to some. Let's just bow our heads in prayer before we finish. I feel there are people here today this message is very much for. And that God wants you to know that he sees your pain. He sees the very condition of your heart. And the cause of it is Satan. Cause of it is the kingdom of darkness, who is against you, who has bound you, who has deceived you, and is making you miserable, and wants to keep you there, wants to take you to hell with him, wants to give you no hope, And Jesus says, I came to turn it all around. I came to not only set you free, I came to make you a completely new creation. I came to give you a new heart. I came to destroy the works of Satan, the Bible says. I manifested, I came into this world to destroy what he's doing in your life so that you could be completely set free, that you could be completely turned around. And I paid for all that freedom with my own life on a cross. I feel God saying to somebody here today, you need to receive me. You don't have to do anything. You just have to receive me as your king. You need to bow your head and just place yourself under my lordship, and I'll turn everything around. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand to heaven, not to me, to heaven, because God wants to set someone free here today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.